Thank God for the provision He's made for us in His Word. A little burden on my heart has to do with the importance of imbibing Jesus and taking Him into our hearts and lives. It's a very essential component, of course. My penmanship isn't real good at best, and I've never been able to write much on a board. But what I've written there is two words. Life weird. And hopefully before we're done, that'll make a little sense. That's Old English. And it's kind of hard to read, even understand some Old English. Jesus said that He is the bread of life. He said your fathers that eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. The importance of us being able to ingest Christ and really partake of all that He is essential to our success in walking before the Lord and living a life of holiness and purity and righteousness before God. I am very grateful that He was willing to leave the splendor of heaven. That's hard for me to comprehend. But He was willing to totally divest Himself of all the glory that He had. And He came down here to walk on this earth with pitiful creatures like me and those who were on the earth at the time. And He brought a plan of salvation that God had ordained for mankind from the very beginning. We read in the book of Revelation about a lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. I spend a lot of time in my meditation on my bed thinking about the plan of God and why did it take so long? How it all was to unfold. That's really not my business. What my business is to live in the day that God has given me and the dispensation He has presented to me, to us, and to be successful living in that dispensation. I like to read in the book of Matthew, in the 26th chapter. This is where Christ was dealing with His disciples in the last hours. If you read in the book of John, I think it's the chapters 13 through 17, 18 there, is a microcosm. It's a compiled and compaction of the last hours that He had with His disciples. And Christ was making every effort to give to them everything that He possibly could in those last hours. I'm reminded of the words that He said to them. He said that you'll be scattered and I'll be alone. But I'm not alone, for my Father is with me. He told Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Peter said, no, Lord, it won't be that way. It was that way. He told Peter, he said, Peter, when you're converted, you strengthen the brethren. He said, Satan has desired to have you and sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you. And to have the words of the Master, Jesus' words, looking you in the face and saying, I've prayed for you, Peter. I've prayed for you. It wasn't possible for these men to be able to comprehend everything that Jesus was trying to convey to them. They're human beings. They had limitations just like we have limitations. I can't look back on them and say I'd have done any better, because I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have done any better. When they were on the road to Emmaus, conversing with one another, and Jesus came and joined with them, they were talking about things, and they turned to Jesus, and he asked them about what the events they were talking about, and they told him, and he said, well, what things is going on? And they told him what things, and they said, we hoped. We had hoped. And here he is walking with them. I wonder if that cut to Jesus' heart. We had hoped that he was a Christ. And here I was with you, and I'm walking with you now, and you say, we hoped. Oh, I go fishing. I don't know what to do with everything I've heard in the past, but today I guess I'm going to go fishing, because I'd hoped. I had hoped. Those are past tense. What Jesus gave to them was hope. He gave to them something beyond just hope. He spoke to the woman at the well. He spoke to her about true worshipers worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. She did not understand everything that was going on there. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That word truth is an interesting word. It comes from two Greek words, aletheo, alanthanos. The first section of that word is a, which is a negative particle. And the lanthano, lanthanos, means covered, hidden, concealed. The negative particle in front of it means not covered, not hidden, not concealed. Christ was God in the flesh, as Scripture tells us, and His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That's what Christ came to bring to humanity, is God with us. And now we live in a time where through the grace of God, through His opening up of the plan of salvation to humanity, we sing songs that talks about the fullness of salvation. We sang the song number 408 that says, full salvation, pure and sweet. Full salvation. We now live in a time, a dispensation, where we have the Father, the Son, the Savior, and the Holy Ghost able to take up residence in our hearts. We live in a beautiful time, folks. The fulfillment of God's plan for humanity. Let's do everything we can to embrace what He has given to us. We have an obligation. We have a responsibility. If we choose to live our lives following our own way, we might live moral lives, lives of integrity, lives of honesty, upright, help our fellow man, our neighbor. We might do all of those things. But that's works. And they're good things. But we must have the fundamental ingredient, which is Christ in our lives. Because if we do all these good things and come down to the end of the journey having not accepted God's offer of salvation to our souls, we have rejected. And the Scripture says that there is no other sacrifice for sin. No good works, no high living. The only sacrifice for sin was Christ. We have that responsibility today, every one of us, young and old. If you have not accepted God's offering of sacrifice for sin, for your soul, if you haven't accepted Jesus, repented, may I urge you, don't put that off. You'll never enter into God's heaven without having accepted the blood of Jesus to cover your soul. You'll never make it inside under your own strength. All right, Matthew 26 and 26. As they were eating the Last Supper, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." In the book of John, the 6th chapter, down at 47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, and any man eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." What do you think of when you think of eating the bread of life? What comes to your mind when you think of eating the bread of life? This process, to those who were looking at it from a literal standpoint, sounded cannibalistic, sounded impossible, and it goes down a little farther and says that many were offended by the saying. And they walked no more with him. Jesus, looking at those who were the closest in his inner circle, turned to them and said, "Will you also go away?" Peter, good old Peter, impetuous Peter, always willing to speak it up. "Now, Lord, where will we go? You have the words of eternal life." And that was true. And Peter did get a grip on some things. He understood some of those things. But he was also still so very much in the human frame of thinking. He wasn't able to understand all of the things. Philip asked a question of Jesus. He said, "Lord, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied." Jesus said, "Philip, have I been so long time with you and you haven't seen the Father? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." I wonder sometimes in my own thinking if Jesus didn't get a little frustrated with those who were his inner circle. And I'm trying to communicate. Can't you just get... And I wonder how many times he spent with them, and I wonder how many times that he did upbraid them a little bit and try to get some things across to them. But he loved them dearly, and he was trying to impart to them. What is so beautiful to me, too, is that this plan that God had for the salvation of souls, knowing that it had to come through Jesus, the absolute trust that God had in people like you and me, human beings, that he was willing to give it to Jesus. Jesus gave it to them. And it said, "It's needful that I go away. It is needful that I go away." Went back to the throne and left that plan of salvation with those men. To disseminate to the masses. He sent the Holy Ghost, of course, to give interpretation. He'll lead you into all truth. He'll teach you all things, bring things to your remembrance. Isn't it a wonderful thing to live under the fullness of the gospel dispensation? The fullness of the plan of God? Where Jesus said, "I am that bread of life. I am what you need. I am the necessity." Now, I spoke a little bit this morning about growing up in a little rural community and farming and gardening and things like that. Now, I've never lived in the Midwest where the big farms are. Fields and thousands of acres of wheat and corn and those types of things. A couple of years ago, I was up here and I left for one day and made a trip back to Coffeyville, Kansas today to go see my grandfather and grandmother's old place. And I looked at all those vast wheat fields. I saw the combines and the farming equipment. And then talking with Brother Leslie, he said they'd had a wonderful wheat harvest that year. I've never grown up in that. I've always enjoyed seeing it. But I know that's part of the plan. God blessed the earth to bring forth food, bring forth fruit, and the bread that we get from that wheat and from the corn, those are wonderful things that we have to enjoy the benefits of. And growing a little garden is very different than growing thousands of acres of wheat or oats or things like that. But there was a time in this nation when people got on their knees and prayed for rain. Because what they ate came out of the ground where they lived, the little farm they lived, and they were desiring God's blessing on the ground so they could have enough food to get through this next year. Do you know, folks, we are so spoiled. I doubt that there is a one in this room that doesn't have enough to eat and more to spare. I doubt that there's not a one of us that if you have a garden, and your garden fails, drought, squirrels eat the corn out of the ground, birds pick it off, whatever happens, I doubt that there's a one of us in this room that's going to go hungry because of that. We'll say, oh well, I wish that hadn't happened, and drive down to the grocery store or the produce shop, and we'll take out our wallets and pay whatever we have to pay to have enough produce to make a meal. That's what we do today. Our thinking is so different than what it was just a few years ago when people had to get on their knees and pray to God for daily bread. Daily bread. So, let's look at that little passage. Matthew 5. I'm sorry, 6. And 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now I'll ask you another question. When you get down on your knees to pray, what are the things that we pray for? Are we praying for our daily bread? Food? Clothing? Shelter?
We need to worship. We need to worship before we ask for anything.
Amen, Brother Leslie.
Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's worship.
Worship and thanksgiving.
That's the first thing.
And praise.
Before you ask for anything else.
But then we come to that point where it says, and give us this day our daily bread. What is your daily bread? What is daily bread to you? Lord, help me to find this job. Lord, help me to be able to find a car. Lord, help me to be able to find a house. All of those things are important, no doubt about it. But the first thing that the Lord wants us to seek is our daily bread and our walk with Him is not those material things. The Scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And His righteousness and all of these other things will be added to you because He knows that you have need of food, clothing, and shelter. Those things are obvious. If we're not careful, we'll put those things ahead of a deep relationship with God. Can I tell you something, folks? The only way that we're going to have any benefit in this life, the only way that we're going to be successful in this life is because God has made it possible for us to succeed. He is the one that has given us the ability to reason, to think. You may have heard me say this before, but I think sometimes, what does it take to be able to reach forward, just this body, to calculate the mechanism to reach for this cup of water, pick it up, bring it to my mouth, take a sip, and swallow without it going into my lungs and aspirating. What does it take? I don't have to think about, wait, I'm going to get a drink of water. I pick the cup up. I'm going to bring it to my mouth. I'm going to take a sip. Now close that flap so it doesn't go in my mouth. I don't have to think about those things. It just happens. It happens because we're fearfully and wonderfully made. We're successful in life only because God has made it possible for us to be successful in life. Only because the Lord has made the ground, blessed the ground to bring forth bounty. Or He's blessed us with the ability to have physical strength, to be able to reason, to be able to think a situation through and come to a conclusion. God has given us that ability. We're not able to do it of our own strength, of our own accord. How many times have you been in a situation where you've tried and you've tried and you've tried and each time it's failed and it's failed and it's failed? I remember one time I was working on an automobile. I was working under the dash and I was working in a blind spot. Couldn't see it. All I had was feel. I tried and I tried and I tried. I could feel the little bolt. I could feel the nut in my hand. I had the washer slipped over. All I needed was get it started. Just get it started. I couldn't get it. Over and over and over again. Finally, I uncurled and twisted and got out of the car and stood up, stretched around, walked around a little bit and said, Lord, would you please guide my hands? Crawl back in there and get situated again. Lay down, get that arm stretched, and right on it goes. Why? If we're not careful, I think I may have mentioned this morning, we can say mine own hand hath gotten me this wealth. But it's not mine own hand. It's God giving the fingers the sense of touch. If we're handicapped, we know what it's like to have some of those abilities diminished or taken away from us. But when we have all of those faculties, how blessed we are to be able to use them the way God has designed them to be used. Give us this day, Lord, our daily bread. There's not a one of us, I don't believe, in this room this afternoon can look out in life, projecting in the future, and know what you need tomorrow. The Scripture says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Jesus said, give us this day. This is how you pray. Give us this day our daily bread. And with that, I'm sure that there were those who felt like and had to pray, Lord, can we just have enough food for today? Food for today. We'll deal with tomorrow if tomorrow gets here. But just enough food. And there are people in this world who pray for enough food for today. Literal food. But here in our United States of America, we're not in that place, generally speaking. But we have a definite need for daily bread from the Lord every day. Not literal bread, not calories and energy, but the real source of life. That if I don't have in my daily walk, I realize I'm empty and void and without. If I don't have what Jesus said, I am that bread of life. Eat my flesh. Drink my blood. It's not about a cup of blood or a platter of flesh. It is about imbibing everything that Christ is, knowing that He is the source. He is the beginning of it all. Without Him, He said, without me, ye can do nothing. We are not capable without the blessing of God. So this little, two little words, play weird.
It's two words. It comes from a time whenever people were, in Old English, they were poor, destitute farmers.
They didn't have the ability to have their own ground, their own land. Maybe the land was taken from them. They worked for someone. And in working for someone, they relied on that individual. They had an agreement, a covenant with him. And they had an agreement to where, we will work for you. Or he says, you can work for me. You work for me, and I'll provide you with the food that you need. Now, you know what, folks? If you don't have anything else,
and you don't have a way to get food for yourself, and you need food. We all have to have it to live. If you don't have an ability to have those things or create those things or make those things for yourself, to have someone make an agreement with you that if you will work for me, I will see to it that your needs are met. I'll give you food, and I'll give you clothing, and I'll give you shelter. So, that man was the loaf lord, the keeper of the loaf. He was the one that was able to give the loaf to those who were his workers, to the laborers. When it came time at the end of the day or midday, whatever the day time of the day was, and it was time to eat, we have an agreement. You work, I feed you, I give you a place. I am the keeper of the loaf lord. Over time, that is shortened to the word Lord. Leif Weird, Loaf Ward, Lord. Folks, Christ is our Lord. He is the loaf keeper. He's the loaf ward. He said, I am the bread of life. Everyone that came before me were thieves and robbers. My sheep come to me. They hear my voice. They know my voice. They know not the voice of a stranger. And my sheep are known of me. I know them all. I know them and they know me. We have that relationship. The Lord is able to provide our needs in life, whatever they may be. He is the loaf ward. He is the loaf ward. He is the Lord. He's the loaf keeper. He's the one that has the ability to meet out to you what you need day in and day out. And can I tell you, I probably could ask for a show of hands, or if people were to start popping up and telling me things that have happened to you in your life from the time that you got saved until this day, you would be able to tell stories about how the Lord gave you your daily bread. And I doubt seriously it was what you anticipated. Very likely in your life you had some real surprises along the way. Things that the Lord said, did you say that you would work for me? Did you say that you would serve me? Yes, Lord, I did. Then here is your daily bread. Oh, but Lord, that's not really what I wanted. But you want daily bread? Give us this day our daily bread. What does that daily bread consist of? And when we get down on our knees before the Lord, what is it that we ask for, folks? The daily bread, is it the loaves and the fishes of life? What are we going to do when the loaves and the fishes are gone? Will we serve the Lord when all of the loaves and the fishes are gone? The cars and the houses and the lands? If those things are taken from us, will we still serve Him? Because He's the loaf keeper, He's the Lord, and He knows what we need. I'm not capable. The Scripture says, it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. The Scripture tells us that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. If I were to try to direct and order my own life, what a mess I would make of it. But if I am willing to turn loose, and I'll tell you the struggle I had with that when I was approaching that time to be sanctified and have my life dedicated to the Lord. First of all, I didn't understand. And then when I did get some understanding, I thought, I won't have anything left. I was right. There's not a thing that I have that's my own. Anything that I have is because the Lord has allowed me to have it. Anything that you have in life is because the Lord has allowed you to have it. What does the Scripture say? Moreover, it is required in men, that in stewards, that a man be found faithful. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. What God has done with all of His bounty is He has given it to us to use, and we're to be good stewards of all the things that God has given to us.
And what I have found in that experience of consecrating all to the Lord, I had to be willing to lay it all down. And I'll tell you, that was a struggle in my mind, because I've found it to be, as the song says, I came to Jordan's sullen stream. I came there. And it sure looked like it was a rough and boisterous thing. And it looked like everything that I had was going to be washed away. But when I was willing to lay it all down and finally say, as Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. Do you see, folks, that's a key. Jesus says, eat of my flesh, drink of my blood. Not my will, but thine be done. To come to that place and lay it all down before the Lord. And on the other side of that, I got up, swallowed hard, a big sigh. I did it, Lord. I did it. Now, I mean it. Now, again, I'm a simple man, and my communication with the Lord may not be the same as yours, but I meant it. Lord, I did it. Not in my own strength, I realize that, but I did it. Now where do I go from here? One day at a time. One day at a time, I found the Lord would give daily bread. One day at a time, I found that what I needed, the Lord was there to provide. One day at a time, I remember I was talking recently with Brother Ferland Palmer, and he was telling me about some a message, you remember, Brother Richard Madden preaching. I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but I just remember some of the things he said was, basically what it boiled down to is just before it did, it didn't. Just before it all collapsed, it didn't collapse. Because God was there. He was the one that was ordering things and arranging things. I'm thankful, folks. As many times it'll look like that to you. It'll look like you're just about to walk up to a chasm, and the next step, the chasm, you're going to fall in. But somehow, and don't ask me how, somehow the Lord makes a way. That's His plan. That's because we're willing to eat His flesh and drink His blood and let Him be the loaf Lord. I wonder how it is for those who just try to take their own way and forge their way in life. How do they deal with the difficult places and walk through those with peace in their soul and their spirit? The Lord wants us to be good stewards, and here's my experience. All of those things that I gave to the Lord, He gave back to me. And He put the responsibility on me as to how I would manage those things to be a good steward. He let me have. I didn't lose my car. I didn't have to sign a title over to Him. For my house, for my job. I didn't have to sign those things over to the Lord. I kept, the next day was really the same day as the day before that was. I still had the job. I still had the wife. I still had the children. I still had the house. Still had the job. But it had a different perspective to it all. It wasn't mine. It was His. I just had to use it the way He would be pleased with me using it. I thank the Lord for His goodness to us all, folks. He is the loaf keeper. He is the loaf ward. He is Lord. He said to the disciples, after He was done washing their feet, He said, you call me Lord and Master, and so I am. So if I have washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. And He was teaching a lesson of service, humility. And I think sometimes about that occasion when they came to that meal. It was customary for the servants to wash the feet of the guests. That was the custom. And I wonder if when it came to that time of the service, if Jesus wondered which one of you would be willing to take that place. No one did. But he showed them how. He took the place. The scripture tells us, and supper being ended, he took a towel and girded himself and began to wash their feet. The scripture tells us he took upon himself the form of a servant. He took upon himself the form of a servant, knelt down before his disciples and washed their feet, when the custom was for the servant to wash the master's or the visitor's feet. Jesus took that place. Oh, what a Savior. Willing to go to the absolute depths for you and me. Thank God for our Lord. Amen.